Charlie and a few of their friends, chug a couple beers and talk politics. It's better with your two beers in.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Two Beers In, a tipsy political roundtable.
I'm Cody Lundquist.
I'm Charlie Todd.
So we have a special edition of Two Beers In. We actually chugged our beers before. We've just been drinking beer. We're here with our wonderful friend and the head writer of The Daily Show with Trevor Noah, Zubin Parang.
Hi, guys.
Welcome, Zubin.
Thank you for having me.
It's great to have you. Zubin was actually on our first show ever at UCB Theater East, which we foolishly did not record. So we have you back now to rectify that.
But tonight's a little special. We've been sitting here watching the election results, the primary results from Indiana, and we've just been drinking the whole time.
Yeah, we were going to do the show earlier tonight, and then we realized that breaking news was happening live. So we drank. We all drank a Sierra Nevada, and then we are now drinking an 11% alcohol beer that my friend Garrett Palm mailed me all the way from Portland, from Boneyard is the brewer. It's called Notorious. It's 11.8%.
I mean, this is sort of the beers that Charlie likes to drink in general. He likes to drink good beer, but we sort of, on the show, since we're chugging, we kind of usually drink low alcohol content beers.
So we chugged a normal beer, and now we're about halfway through a really strong beer. So I think we're about the same level of drunk
Trump
that we normally
are. Presumptive nominee, so we are drunker than normal.
So that's what happened. We watched Ted Cruz's speech and we watched Trump's speech, and now we are talking.
We have before we get going, we've got the primary results on mute and we're watching them. So if anything happens,
people that are listening to this at least 12 hours later are going to be so interested to see us watch breaking news.
This is a little off topic, but how great is it to see Brian Williams back on television again?
I mean, we were big fans of Bri.
We were Bri-Y fans. I was upset at his fall.
But I like Lester Holt.
I love Lester. Lester's great. It's nice that Brian's found a niche in this election year.
That's true. I don't know if people know this, but you guys watch the nightly news because you're both 74 years old.
Yeah, we're 74-year-old retirees who live in Florida.
I don't know who Lester Holt is.
How are you going to know who's making a difference? But you don't know who's making a difference in this world.
The news is shrinking every day.
My
understanding is their last 20 minutes is mostly just about various prescription drugs that senior citizens will want to know about.
You know what? There was a great story about antibiotics today and how they're overprescribed. So maybe everyone should listen to it.
I don't know if I've talked about this on the show before, but it is true. I've watched the NBC Nightly News for, I don't know, 15 years, maybe 10 years.
10 years. We've been together 10 years. Turned into old people 10 years ago.
I was watching it a little bit before we met, but it's been on my DVR for that long. And I love it because I especially love the first 14 or so minutes. It's commercial free, uninterrupted, a big long block up top. And it's the cliff notes of what happened today. It's mainstream media news. Sometimes it infuriates me, particularly the way they cover politics sometimes. But, you know, overall, it's I feel like I get my dose of what's happening today. If I'm working all day long, I'm not paying attention. And that 14 minutes, and I listen to it. I'm doing other things.
Bri-Y, come on our show.
I would love to have
this whole thing is just a quiet backdoor plug for Brian Williams to come on.
Do you drink Brian? Come
Lester
on.
Or Brian or Kate Snow on the weekends.
Oh, you're deluding.
Or John Siegenthaler, who used to do it.
But this actually, it helped us today. So Charlie and I were putting our kid to bed and Juven was going to come over. And we were putting our kid to bed. And when we do that, we listen on our headphones to the nightly news. And I turned it on as our kid's in the bathtub. And I went, what the fuck? Literally 6:30, I turned on the news and already Trump had won the nomination.
I was not aware that Indiana's polls must close at like 4:30 or something.
They don't want people who have a job to vote.
Yeah, it's a kind of like very progressive way to think about it.
It's like if you have a job,
only like college kids and out of work people are able to vote.
It's a voter ID state. I guess they have short hours. They don't like voting. You know, a lot of people don't like voting.
You think like that would actually is even more interesting because I guess that would explain why maybe Bernie Sanders won tonight instead of Hillary Clinton. A lot of college students, a lot of younger people probably don't need to show up to work or can just quit their jobs instead of going to work if they wanted to vote. I will admit right now that I was one of those people who thought Trump was not going to win a single primary.
Yeah.
And I am still a little bit disbelieving that he is going to be the Republican nominee.
Yeah,
And he is, right, like 100%.
100%, like, absolutely.
Cruz is out. John Kasich will probably release a statement tomorrow drop out, too.
So, we had a bunch of questions Charlie and I had planned earlier today about this, and now it's just like, oh, fuck. We were going to talk about Cruz, and Cruz is, like, gone and done with.
Most of our questions are about
but we still have some. So clearly the alliance between Kasich and Cruz, which was bullshit to begin with, didn't work.
I feel like the media overplayed that a little bit. I thought the kind of sense of it was that they were just like, we're going to stay out of each other's way. And those statements were issued as a way to tell their super PACs where to divert the resources.
Like, oh, you think it was just like the communication with super PACs?
I think that was a major part of it. I don't think they intended for the media to be like, Cruz and Kasich have entered into a suicide blood pact together where one will go
clearly Kasich is like, yeah, I want him to vote for me.
But shouldn't they have? Like a month before they did? Even when Marco was still in, like, why didn't they all just say, like, you know, why didn't Kasich or Cruz have the balls to say, hey, vote for Marco in Florida. Don't vote for me.
Well,
vote for Kasich in Ohio. Vote for Cruz in Wisconsin. Like,
according to the results that we're seeing right now, currently it's 8% Kasich, 37% Cruz.
Yes, it's too late.
And 50%. But
Trump got over 50% tonight. The alliance could not have worked. But I think, like, I think they all made a miscalculation a long time ago of not just consolidating.
But what's the consolidating? I mean, the people that are going to vote for Cruz are certainly not for Kasich and vice versa.
Hindsight's 50-50, I guess. But I think they each of them, and this is like the classic prisoner's dilemma, that each of them thought, I will do better, you know, going out on my own than allying with the three for the good of the Republican Party versus Trump. It's hard to tell, especially before Florida, either Rubio or Cruz or Kasich, hey, two of you are probably going to have to, like, surrender just to prevent Trump from going in.
Mm-hmm.
But I agree with you. I think all of them, to some extent, either part of, like, their own egos and part of, like, I think the same analysis that everybody, including me, had was like, you know what, like, this guy is overblown, he's overrated, he's going to burn himself out before, and I got to be the one standing to pick up the I think Kasich still thinks that. He hasn't left because I think he still thinks this is still going to blow over. The nomination, the convention's going to come, and they're all going to be
true,
like...
True Ohio
this is
grit.
It's a tough...
He's your governor.
In denial, like Ohioans are.
I think it's a tough night for Kasich because why would he drop out on a night where he lost a state that he didn't campaign in, right? He's always been waiting for California or whatever the next thing is. So it'd be weird for him to, like, give a concession speech on a night like tonight.
But do you think he's going to quit in the next couple of days?
I don't know.
I mean, he's gone this long without winning a single state.
He won Ohio.
But so when was that? Like back in March? March 15th, I think.
I don't think he's going to drop out until Trump actually gets the nomination. I think he still thinks, well, maybe now that it's just me and Trump, everybody's going to rally around him, which is delusional as shit.
I can tell you, part of me thinks that might be the case. Like, just because if there's no other option for anti-Trump people to go, maybe they go to Kasich just to say, I have a lot of New York Republican friends who all voted for Kasich as protest votes. And I think if he's the kind of
Who are these New York Republican friends? Law school friends?
Yeah, they're all law school friends. We're like,
wait a second. No one in the comedy community, Jubes.
Ask them to come on our show.
We're looking for New York Republicans.
I'll be happy to bring them along. Yeah, like, the comedy scene in New York is either, like, fervently Bernie or resignedly towards Hillary. That's actually not fair.
We're in discussions right now with a couple of Republicans. We're trying to get some on. I know we've had some criticism on our iTunes comments.
We
about
have, like,
us not
three
having-
comments on our iTunes page, and one is from a conservative complaining that we bash conservatives. So, like, if you're listening to this and you're a fan of the show, give us a positive comment and give us a good rating.
So we wanted to talk a little bit. And it seems
especially if you're the conservative person.
Yeah, please,
not even throwing a bone to them about we'll get a conservative guest on.
We just keep saying we're going to throw a bone to you. It's hard in New York. If we were in another state, we could do it. But
I will say, by the way, if I can just say, as we're talking, Bernie Sanders is speaking, and this is on tonight of what is it, May 3rd, And Bernie Sanders is speaking now, and it looks just in, because he's in a black suit up against a concrete wall, like one of those old Soviet leaders.
Yeah, he talking does. Up against. Wow,
this is not the great image he needs if he wants to come it's across also, as a vibrant young democratic socialist and not an old school Soviet communist.
It's in such stark contrast to Trump too. Like Trump was like very presidential tonight with his speech,
so severe,
and then Trump is just like someone's holding an iPhone video up,
right? To be clear,
just like fuck you, media, come on.
To be clear, Bernie is just giving a press avail right now. He's not doing a campaign event.
It's weird. He must have not have anticipated he'd win Indiana. I don't understand why it's not more of a celebratory mood.
Yeah. I maybe thought it would be very close.
But okay, so right now, you know, he's up 53% to 47%. He's got, you know, a little more votes than Hillary did. It doesn't matter. He has to win 65% of everything. Thing remaining. That's what they're saying earlier today. And now that he's won 53% of this, he's probably got to win 66 or 67% of everything else.
Especially like, with Cruz over. Having dropped out now. There's no longer a distraction on the Republican side. They're That's uniting true. Behind Trump. And I think Bernie needs to start thinking about getting out.
No, but he's doing... No, I'm fine with him being in. Right now, the tone has changed since the last primary, which I think is good. They're no longer bashing each other. It's like mom and dad are sort of like having an amicable divorce right now.
The tone has been better.
That's
and
true.
So, and I love Bernie, and I like what he has to say, and I like that he's pulled Hillary further left than she should. So as long as they're not, they're both not bashing each other, I'm fine with him still being in. He can't be in for that much longer anyway. It's May.
So, you know?
Good point. That's true.
If he wins, great. I'll vote for him. I'll vote for a fucking tree stump. I'll vote for anybody that's not Trump.
So we had a lot of Cruz stuff that we wanted to talk about tonight, and now he's not in the race anymore, dropping out earlier tonight. But I would still like to talk about sort of some of Cruz's greatest hits.
Oh, please.
I think they're all hilarious.
An homage to Cruz as he leaves.
We're going to miss him. We're going to miss
this
that.
This is sort of in memoriam Ted Cruz, a wake for Ted Cruz.
Here's a 2020, buddy.
So, I mean, up to the last minute, you know, the day that he drops out is the day that we find out that maybe his dad killed JFK.
This is a hell of a revelation. Find out.
Like this morning, Trump is talking about a National Enquirer story. The National Enquirer, I think, is published by a friend of Trump's. That his dad was somehow involved in JFK. I mean, do you think that's possible? I mean, apparently he was in the same area. He's Cuban. Like I watched the Oliver Stone movie a long time ago. I think the Cubans had something to do with it.
This is such a beauty of Trump that he asks these questions in a way that everyone just kind of pauses and is like, no, well
maybe.
I think the really amazing thing to me is that the context of that was that Rafael Cruz came out and just begged Indiana voters to vote for his son. And he just said, please, anybody who's Christian, we should follow the one, you know, that we should follow God and
so
vote for
Cruz. So that happened first and then Trump wanted the attack?
Trump's response to this old man begging voters to vote for his son was to accuse the man of shooting John F. Kennedy in the head. Jesus. It's just such a like an overwhelmingly like disproportionate response.
Yeah,
but it's also media friends, come the fuck on! Like seriously, if Trump says, Ted Cruz's dad shot JFK, you have to respond to it. I mean, it's insane. It's insane
it's
that
fun,
we respond,
it's
irresistible. Fun. It is fun until Trump is the nominee, which he is now, and he's going to be saying this shit. Obama's birth certificate, like all this shit. It's like he just says something and the way the media responds is just saying, well, you know, this
some
is an unsupported claim, but some people say this. And if you're not media savvy and you hear, well, some people say this, you think, oh, well, maybe he
this
did.
This is a very serious thing that's happening.
Maybe he did shoot JFK.
I don't know if you guys know this, by the way. You probably do, but the National Enquirer is owned by a close friend of Trump's.
Yes. That's,
so they're, that nexus, if... I mean, every time Donald Trump says anything, the reporter he's talking to should immediately bring that up. But the fact that the Fox and Friends crew that he was talking to didn't immediately say that was the National Enquirer.
We're actually having the front runner for campaigns commenting on National Enquirer stories.
I mean, to play devil's advocate, National Enquirer was right about John Edwards.
Sure, but guess what? Guess what?
That's a stop clock.
No, it's not, because they were the first ones to report it, and then every other media outlet did their due diligence and found out more shit about it. So, no, this affair shit and this JFK shit has been around for a while, and no one said shit about it. But it's in, like, if there were some founding on it, I think
the best part is like the photo that they point at, like that could be any old man. Like it's a grainy old photo. Right. Any white person with glasses would be like, yeah, I guess that could be him.
Yeah. Right.
It's such a beautiful way of just, and also like, I mean, Ted Cruz understandably reacted so harshly to that information. This man who's about to destroy him,
I mean,
had to go the extra step of humiliating his father, like raising all these questions about his
parents. And then tonight, what did he say in his concession speech? I want to let everyone know that Ted Cruz was one hell of a competitor, as if it were a fucking reality show.
Yeah.
So great game, great job.
Yeah. It was like, what? You just literally 6 hours ago said his dad shot JFK in the fucking head. And now you're like, he competed well. Yeah. It was like,
it's all
what?
Fair in love and war, buddy.
Yeah. I mean, lying Ted 3 months. So Zhuman, when is Ted Cruz going to endorse Trump? Will he endorse Trump? Do you think, is it tomorrow? Is it in negotiation for a primetime slot at the convention?
He'll definitely have that, I think. That's actually, wow.
So do you think Cruz is going to, I mean, this man today said that his dad killed JFK. I mean, this man's called him lying Ted Cruz for ad nauseum for weeks. Ted actually support him?
I think for Trump, this is all a game. I don't think Trump is going to care at all. Trump will probably offer him a spot at the convention. I think it's up to Ted Cruz to accept or reject that spot.
Right,
and
can
I
he?
Think Ted can Cruz he? Is a cynical enough dirtbag that he will accept that spot. I think Cruz has his eye on 2020, and I think that there's nothing, and maybe this is colored a bit by my personal opinion of Ted Cruz, but I think there's no depth to which Ted Cruz will not sink for his own ambitions.
Yeah, I mean, he's Lucifer in the flesh, right?
I mean, absolutely. I mean, for the House Speaker to say that about you, John Boehner is John Boehner, for all his faults, is a go-along, get-along guy. Like, there's nobody that guy's not willing to sit down and have a drink with.
I mean, I think this actually, you know, it's a little bit of off-topic, but something I sort of am interested in talking about. I think part of the reason that Bernie and Trump, as different and vastly different as they are, have appealed to a lot of people that don't normally get involved in the political process is because they're both outsiders, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, is that a good thing in the political process? In some ways, yes. It's like, no, why does this exist this way? Why, you know, why we shouldn't have to play by the rules all the time. But in a way, the wheeling and dealing is sort of what gets things done. Like Boehner is a wheeler and dealer. Like,
is he? He wouldn't meet with Obama forever.
He wouldn't. But he also, because of shitbags like Ted Cruz, who were like, I'm fighting outside the system. I'm not going to agree to anything. I'm an ideologue and this is it. And this is why I'm here. And people love him for that. But that means that you can't get, you have to like give a little to get a little because we're a 50-50 country at the end of the day.
But my thing on Boehner is like, okay, he came out and said Ted Cruz is Lucifer in the flesh. Shut up, you know. I think he didn't even know he was being recorded in a talk at Stanford University this week. But he should have said it like when he was shutting the government down. You know, he made a really cute like buddy buddy video with Obama for the Correspondents' Dinner. Like, okay, was that the first time those guys have hung out? Like it's too little too late from Boehner. Like now in 2016, when you're, you know, no longer speaker, you are going to admit how terrible Cruz is and have fun with Obama.
I definitely think Boehner wouldn't, if Cruz was in the driver's seat for the presidency, Boehner would not say anything about it. It's definitely this guy's career is over, political future is over, at least I'll hit him when he's down.
Right.
Because I don't got to make any more. I don't have to go along to get along with him, but Cruz ruined
John Boehner's speakership.
Oh, definitely.
John Boehner thought that he was going to go in and make some deals and like get some shit done. He thought he was going to be sort of like a transformative person. And when he got up there, the Tea Party and Cruz specifically were like, no, you're not getting anything done.
But at the same time,
you're not going to make any grand bargains. You're not going to make any deals.
Totally. But Boehner's speakership was because of the Tea Party. So in a sense,
I know, but Boehner, he's not a Tea Party guy.
Yeah, like Boehner never really had any control over that.
It's sort of the weird thing with our politics now. For a long time, I feel like there were two parties, but they kind of like bled into each other and got shit done. And it was like one would pull one this way and one would pull one this way. And then the pendulum swung, and then there were these ideologues on both sides. And Bernie is one of those ideologues too. And it's a rough position to be in, because I believe and I agree with everything Bernie has to say, but I do think that I understand that the country mostly doesn't 100% agree with me, and I have to give a little to get a little back. So as much as I agree with Bernie, I know for a fact that we're not going to get, you know, a single payer option or all that stuff. When considering 50% of our country thinks that Cruz and Trump are electable people. Like,
I agree. This is actually and I've said this before, but I really don't think that our current constitutional structure is workable for our current ideological differences. The country's parties used to be like more geographical and more mm-hmm. practical of a blend of ideologies, and now they're very European in their divisions. It's very
so
ideological.
We should be European in our representation.
We should not have the veto points. Yeah, like the amount yeah. the way the minority can block all progress in a country that blames the majority for failure to enact an agenda is really bad for democracy. Yeah. Nothing gets done. Everyone doesn't know who to blame.
If Mitch McConnell can spend 4 years saying our number one goal is to deny a second term of Barack Obama,
and
half of the country think, oh, we didn't get anything done, let's vote him out.
Mitch McConnell should be able to do that, but he shouldn't have all his only power should be rhetorical. He shouldn't be able to actually block the agenda.
Right.
And I also really very, like, people, I feel like when I say this, people are always like, well, if the Democrats were in power, you wouldn't say that. But I very firmly
believe,
like, George W. Bush deserved to appoint as many Supreme Court justices as he could.
And he did.
Elections have consequences.
And I want people to be able to see those consequences. Mm-hmm. I want people to be able to say, oh, wait, you did this, but I don't like that, so I'm voting you out. And right now, the way it is just everyone sits still and doesn't do anything, and so we don't know who to blame.
Absolutely.
Which is exactly what you're saying.
So it robs democracy
100%.
Of
we can't say that the reason we're in a recession is because of X.
Exactly.
Because no one's actually voting for X. They're all just like, hands off.
I want to talk a little bit about...
Can I ask one quick question first?
No.
I just want to know. This is a quick, small thing for Cody. Because her Ohio governor is John Kasich. Has Ohio been governed by anybody recently? What is Ohio doing politically? The governor is not in town at all.
Well, I have not lived in Ohio since 1998.
Based on your just sense
family
of being
all
a native
still
born
lives
Ohioan.
There.
Well, what about New Jersey? Like, Christie was on the trail for forever and then lost and then got back on the trail to stand behind Trump. Like, I'd be even more pissed as a New Jersey resident of, like, my governor abdicated his duties to run for president.
But I will say a different.
And now he's abdicating his duties to stand behind someone.
But Ohio went out overwhelmingly for Kasich, and Democrats jumped ship and voted for Kasich. So there is loyalty to Kasich. I mean, I know plenty of people, including my family, that hates Kasich.
You mean during his gubernatorial election, Democrats voted for him?
No, I mean, in this, the reason that he won Ohio in the presidential.
Oh, Ohio's primary is open? Democrats?
Uh-huh.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah,
okay.
You can swap. So people, and my mom, we discussed this on this podcast before, but my mom worked the polls and she said she was overwhelmed by the amount of people that were voting for Kasich. People did switch and they went to go vote for him. So listen, I know a lot of people that dislike Kasich. He went after the unions. He is anti-abortion.
He's a very conservative Republican.
But he won his state, and that there's something to be said for that. You know.
All right, I want to talk about Carly Fiorina for a little bit because
we need to give her her due.
No, we don't. There's no due. Like, what the fuck, man? Like, first of all, it is
anybody who's failed upwards.
I'm opening another beer to talk about my woman. I'm only going to pour half of it in my glass and then
I'll get the other.
I think it is so funny that Carly Fiorina joined the Cruz campaign. Was it a week ago? Was it less than a week?
It was less than a week. It was like 2 days.
She must have known.
Like, she came in to join the campaign for its, like, you know, last
dying gas.
She dying
also looked like she was crying in the speech, and I was like, yeah, because she was like, ah, oh, fuck.
Here's the only thing I know about Carly Fiorina and her journey from accepting the vice presidential pick of someone who was going to not get the nomination to her concession speech tonight as the hypothetical vice president of someone who's not going to get the nomination. She loves Ted Cruz's daughters. Like, her first speech,
Caroline and Catherine.
What?
Love those girls.
Why? Like, when Ted was introducing her, he was talking about the unique relationship between Carly and and Caroline and Catherine. And then Carly sang a fucking weird ass creepy song.
Out of nowhere.
Really too. Weird, right? I feel like people didn't talk about it enough. That was fucking creepy.
My girls,
it
was creepy. On the bus, hanging out
two
with my
girls.
Girls
I just adore.
They're hanging
wait,
out.
Wait, hold on. I think
so
she
much
actually
more.
Knows it.
It was, is it like, I know two girls I just adore? What was it? It was something about the bus and we play. It was watching it. I remember like on the show, we were watching that being like, this is the trailer to a horror movie.
Did you guys cover
it? Yes,
yeah,
you did.
We ended
you
up putting
that,
up to a horror movie.
Oh, right. That was great. You guys
it was very,
it.
It was terrifying. Here's the thing though. I don't blame her. I
for singing in a,
well, I don't blame her for accepting the spot. I blame Ted Cruz for thinking we are at our last stand for Indiana. I need a ringer who can come in and turn this thing around. Get me Carly Fiorina.
Yeah.
But get me the closer.
Give me somebody who lost a long time ago.
That's the thing. I was like, what? I don't.
What did she bring? And that was so weird about it. It was like, why did she accept it? She wasn't from the Midwest. She's from California.
I definitely see why she can accept it. She has nothing else to do.
I guess, but maybe Trump could have made her VP. I mean, I don't know.
I
he needs
after
women.
What he was saying.
Yeah.
To her,
do you accept the VP of someone who said you had an ugly face?
Like, look at that.
Literally,
face.
Literally.
I don't know. I will get into why I think Trump is a fucking the worst person on the planet for women. But
I tell you, I can't wait to see who he picks as his vice president. I feel it's either going to be some beautiful woman.
Carl, I can.
Does not, he is actually like a major figure in New York circles. Like I know law firms that represented him. I know people who
he's a huge
he's
billionaire.
A massive
yeah,
amount
he
of
makes,
like legal business.
He makes stock prices go up and down based on
yeah.
what he says. Yeah.
I mean, don't you think he needs to pick a woman?
I don't know a woman he would pick that would be in that Venn diagram of women that he would find acceptable and would find him acceptable.
So this is a little off topic, but I wanted to talk about it later, and so I feel like I'm just going to bring it up now. Charlie and I watched Confirmation last night, the HBO movie.
Oh, I still
movie.
Haven't seen that yet. I'm 10 minutes into it.
I won't, no spoilers, but Clarence Thomas may or may not have sexually harassed Anita Hill. But we watched it last night. It's been on our DVR for a while. We've been wanting to watch it. Anyway, I loved it for many reasons, but one, I just really loved watching this thing that I had sort of experienced a little bit as a 10-year-old and just didn't really get.
Because you were sexually harassed as a 10-year-old?
No. Just what I... what
you
I
were
had,
10 when this happened.
I was 10 when it was happening, and like as a woman, like what I took from it, and I took from it that Anita Hill was a dumb bimbo that lied about being sexually harassed. Anyway, tonight is a very special night, and I'm glad I watched it yesterday because I feel like tonight we nominated in the major party of our country, the Republican Party, we nominated a man who I feel like sexually harasses women publicly. So what have we done in 20 years?
This actually
did change anything. Holy fucking shit. Like, at least Clarence Thomas didn't say that shit in public and denied it. Like, fucking Trump says it in public in stump speeches about women on their period. And we're like, sure.
This completely gets to a very strong feeling I have that, like, if we are going to be live in a two-party system and not a parliamentary system where you can have these fringe parties, then your fellow citizens owe you a duty, if they are in opposite political parties, to vote for someone that at least is competent to run the country. Mm-hmm. And I do, and I lean Democratic. I lean pretty strongly Democratic, and that's fine. But at the very least, I respect the fact that there are Republican candidates who are qualified to be on a very minimum level president.
Do you think among the 17 that were running, there who would you count?
I would say I think Jeb Bush definitely would have been able to steer the ship of state effectively, not in any policy position I would have preferred, but I would not have worried about just bare minimum necessities of security, of safety, of like government running effectively.
I
think the Republican Party just tonight definitively failed this country. The people who voted for Trump have failed their fellow citizens in this. And it's for all like the joking you do about Trump and all these people, this is like a real I feel like the Republican electorate that voted for Trump has really slapped the rest of us in the face on this. You gave us a person...
A reality TV star.
You gave us a reality television star as a legitimate choice to run the country, and that's just not fair.
And, I mean, McCain, yes, I obviously didn't want McCain or Romney to be president, but if they had become president, I wouldn't have been like... I'm leaving the fucking country. I would have been like, well, that's the way the pendulum swings.
I don't know. Palin as a vice president.
Palin, actually, you're right.
That was
pretty
bad.
But my point is, as a woman.
To be fair to the Republican electorate, they didn't know McCain was going to elect a.
Sure.
It wasn't going to pick a VP.
And I think she might have been the reason he lost in a big, big way.
It was a game change. Let's all agree.
It was definitely
a
game
change. Someone should write a book. Someone should write a book or do a movie about that. But as a woman.
Greatest political commentators in the scene today.
Come on our show. But as a woman, the way Trump speaks to women, the things he says about women, and I know, oh, he's not PC. Like, fuck you. When you say he's not PC, what you're saying is that women can be talked to in that way. And I'm sorry, I'm not a PC person. PC, whatever the fuck. It takes a lot to offend me. I'm a comedian. I have three brothers. Like, I am a woman that grew up, like, joking around and palling around, but the way he speaks to women, the way he represents women, it is abhorrent. It is the most disgusting hate speech. And the fact that we are going 20 years back, watching this movie last night, the way Clarence Thomas was saying shit about women is what Donald Trump says in a stump speech about women. And I'm sorry, like, again, I am not one of those, oh, so-and-so accidentally said this thing and I'm like jumping on a bandwagon about it. It takes a lot to offend me, and he fucking offends the shit out of me.
Oh, he's a...
And how can I be a mom raising a child in a world that nominated and maybe will elect Trump? I mean, that makes me disgusted.
I want to talk about one specific from confirmation and Clarence Thomas, because it's the most, I think, soundbite moment from the whole trial, but... I don't fully understand the pubic hair and the coke. Like Clarence, Clarence Thomas said,
he was flirting, man.
That is the thing that will get me sexually. Yeah. I love a pubic hair in my coke.
I remembered it wrong. I thought Clarence Thomas had like put a pubic hair in a coke, but from HBO's confirmation, I guess the story is he was sitting at a desk with a bunch of people. He went into his office and he came back with a coke can and he said, "Someone put a pubic hair on my coke." What the fuck is that? What does that mean?
I don't know.
I get that that's sexual harassment.
I have not yet seen that, and I also.
What is your recollection of the pubic hair?
It actually was what your misrecollection was.
I'm right though, right? That's what the movie said, but I think she said a couple of times.
First off, I will say that I think Clarence Thomas.
Both are crazy.
Sure, but Clarence Thomas, in addition to being a sexual harasser, is also a bad comedian. So maybe he thought that was funny. Like, wait a second, who put a pubic hair in my coat?
But like,
huh?
If you're going to sexually harass someone, is not the least sexy thing of all time a pubic hair on a Coke can?
I mean,
I don't know. Men are idiots in what they think women enjoy, and maybe he thought that like pubic hair is a sexy thing.
I can definitely see that as being like a joke that an unfunny person thinks is
an
funny.
An unfunny middle-aged man. What does he think is like something that might like shake up the norm?
Yeah, just make it like, look, I'm a kind of hilarious, like wacky guy that fun things happen to. I'm not some stodgy old man.
Also, the bottom line is when you're a disgusting sexual harasser, you just say disgusting things. And the bottom line is women have to endure it. Like we have to endure your shitty joke. Even if it's about a fucking pubic hair and a coke, we have to endure it.
And
nothing has changed in 20 years, and Trump is the fucking nominee, and he said that...
No, that's not true. Things have changed.
Have they really? We just nominated a man.
We are about to elect a woman as our president.
I hope to God, but you know what?
Things have not changed for 49% of the country.
No, we have nominated a man that said that Mike Tyson, who raped a woman... That maybe she was asking for it because she looked like she was happy the next day.
He did say that 2 years before the Clarence Thomas trials. I mean, you're holding him to something that he said.
Yes, as he should be. As he 100% should be. Which is why we should never have elected Strom Thurmond as president, because he was anti-segregation
But don't you see that as a sign of progress, though? I do think that, like, there's ultimately the fact that these people are electing Trump is I think this is like the kind of the howl of the dying, that these, this is a generation that is collapsing on itself and is in a last burst of radiation, taking the nomination of the Republican Party as a way of saying, we don't want to go quietly.
And don't look quietly into that night.
Yeah, this is a country that is elected a black president. It's about to elect a woman president, and these people.
You're feeling very confident.
Actually, it's funny because I was talking to our mutual friend Christine Nangle, phenomenal
hey,
writer.
Such friend funny, of the show, friend of the show.
Writes for Amy Schumer, writes been all of the amazing, like, everything, really, every like, biting, sketch. Also Amy Schumer stuff.
Every funny sketch
really
you've probably
of,
seen in the last, like, 10 years, she has probably had a hand in.
Kind of my hero.
Wonderful person. She is, we were just talking recently about how frustrated she is and how, like, almost resigned she is about how constantly women have to fight sexism and fight all these battles on every front. And maybe I am, and maybe it's easier for me to say this because I am not personally engaged in these battles, but these are all fights of progress. These are all fights of women as they advance along all these fronts. And I don't think you see that any more clearly than the fact that Hillary Clinton is going to be president in November.
Oh, I hope.
I mean, knock on wood.
That's me knocking on wood.
I'm just worried worried about tomorrow. I'm worried about all these people, the hashtag Never Trump people and Reince and Ted and everybody who's been at Trump's throat for the last 2 months. I think tomorrow they're going to wake up and they're going to sing his praises.
And that makes me so sad.
I think they've reached acceptance, right? I mean, is there going to be a third party candidate? Like, what are these people going to do? What are
is already behind Trump. There's not going to be a third party candidate.
One of the Koch brothers said that Hillary would be better, and that's amazing.
But I think, that's what matters. Like, the degree of enthusiasm behind Trump is just not going to be there. There's going to be a base of his support that is rooted in white lower middle class anger, in working class frustration, which I don't think is illegitimate at all. I think it's misdirected.
Right.
But I think that is going to be his enthusiastic support. The rest of the establishment that is going to kind of offer him middling to no support, and the rest of the country is going to be so abhorred by the idea that he would be president of over Hillary Clinton.
Term memory, though, right? I mean, is he able? I mean,
tonight his speech was very presidential.
No, it was.
He has been running as a sort of like, you know, bombastic, sort of loud.
But it was the same stump speech, and he just said that Cruz was a good
competitor. But he said it quietly. He said it quietly. And I know that sounds ridiculous, but to the average person, that is the most condescending piece of shit way that I said that. But
the moron coal miner who...
But honestly, I have no other way to describe anybody that would support Donald Trump. I would support a myriad of candidates above him. I think he is the most base, disgusting representation of the American populace.
I don't even think he's disgusting and all those.
Yeah,
things.
Because he didn't say that a rapist was okay and you're not a woman.
I just think he's an internet troll. Someone to say, oh, this guy's dad killed JFK, and to come up with nicknames for him. He's just an internet troll. But the problem is the classic message board advice of don't feed the trolls. If somebody's being a troll, ignore them. We're not going to ignore them. And our media cannot ignore them. And it is a problem.
But words matter. I mean, that's the thing. You can say, like, he doesn't mean it. And then 20 minutes later, he says this. Actually, Zubin, you guys on The Daily Show had on BuzzFeed reporter McKay.
Yeah, McKay Coppins.
McKay Coppins.
Great guy.
And this wasn't the center message. It was just like a side note thing that he had said. But he said that when he got to Trump's compound, he was like visiting and like there was a delay and he had to stop at Mar-a-Lago. That's right. Sorry, I forgot the name. And Trump put his arm around him and said, whatever you need, it's all there for you. There's a lot of pretty women here.
Mm-hmm.
And like, that was just like a funny little side story. But I was like, no, that is the fucking story about Trump. That is the type Absolutely. Of person Trump is. That he is like, hey, we have bath towels. We have any salt you want. We have any soaps. We have whatever food you we want. And also beautiful women.
Beautiful and vaginas. That is, so many vaginas.
Exactly. And I listen, I am fucking Beyonce's lemonade. I'm fucking Hillary Clinton. I'm fuck all that shit. This is Custer's Last Stand. And all the racist, sexist dickheads are out there. And I'm like, fuck you. Donald Trump is that man.
Jubin, do you think that the Bernie supporters and Bernie's audience and donor base is going to get in line with Hillary?
Absolutely. The same way that Hillary's donor base got in line with Obama. Like, yeah. You can, and maybe in the moment.
When? In the convention? Or
fairly quickly. Like, yeah. even all this, like, Puma stuff back in 2008, this Party Unity My Ass kind of stuff. That was
Know that acronym. Party Unity My
that was,
Ass?
It was a kind of, like, AstroTurf movement of, like, Hillary supporters that I feel like was Republican funded, but was all
this
these
is
Hillary.
Before we had hashtags.
It was absolutely was. Yeah.
It would have been like a hashtag.
The year of, I think, was, yeah. But it was all these Hillary supporters saying, like, you know, we're not going to go behind Obama. Very quickly dissipated after the convention. Even Hillary herself was like, go for Obama. And like, once you see the opposition, once you see
Trump. And Bernie going to do that?
I absolutely think it. Well, I mean, don't forget, we have like from June until November, we will have 5 months of solid Republican-Democrat contrast being constantly reiterated in the media. Like, there's nobody who's going to sit there watching Trump talk about his policies, who will imagine a world where he will nominate 2 to 3 Supreme Court justices and not think that can't possibly happen.
Right.
I really, like, this fever right now, I think, is very temporary. The party will unite. And I think also most politics now is based on oppositional feelings instead of pro feelings. People vote against someone, then they vote for someone.
Mm. True.
And nobody makes you want to vote against someone more than Donald Trump.
Although the number two person would be Hillary Clinton, that people want to
even
vote.
So.
Dislike Hillary
yeah,
Clinton.
Even so.
They really do.
Yeah. Do you think there's a chance that Trump is going to, like, completely just, you know, tomorrow change everything and say that he's pro-life and say that he's...
Pro-choice?
Sorry, say that he's pro-choice.
He's like, no, never mind, yeah, I'm not pro-life, I'm pro-life.
It's hard to keep up. Do you think he's going to pivot and, like, at this point... Or maybe when he reaches 1237, like, can he just be like, yeah, gays can marry, and he may already be pro-gamer.
You know, he already said Caitlyn Jenner can pee in my bathroom.
He definitely has some liberal social. I don't deny that, but like the
well, do you think he might say in a month's time, like, never mind about the wall? Like, he could now that he's got the nomination and he doesn't have to pander to the far, far, far right.
I think he'll lose that base, though. I don't think he's not like a politician.
Well, who are they going to vote for, though?
He can't say anything to lose his base.
Well, here's the thing, though.
I agree.
He's committed too much to them. He can't abandon that. He has no base if he abandons that.
Oh, I disagree. I think that he plays by no rules. He plays by no rules. People are like, Trump, he's my guy. He says whatever. The same way that a lot of moderate voters have sort of been like, Trump is lying to the base to get them to vote for him, but he kind of actually believes like me. I think the base will say he's lying to the moderates to get them to vote, but he really believes like I do.
That's but scary. You don't know what he actually believes.
But I don't think that
he's an old man
who's
like dementia
though.
Or something.
I don't think he has the flexibility. I think he, and maybe this might reflect my own bias, but I really genuinely have been able to kind of laugh at him instead of fear him, because I really think he is a symptom of the Republican Party. And I've been able to look at him as sort of like a country across the ocean enduring a viral outbreak. I'm sympathetic to the people who are suffering from it, but I am also indifferent to it because it's not my problem. They cause it themselves with their lack of recognition of what viruses are. But it is not a problem that affects the people outside of the Republican Party. That is a party that is riven by deep racial misdirected animosity about their economic status towards liberal elites. And
but Jubin, you can't dismiss a viral outbreak in a foreign country. We have a pandemic. Things can outbreak all over the world really quickly.
Like,
that is a board game that we like to play.
We gotta set up
Jubin.
A medic station.
Look, do we need fuel stations in various continents just to allow for transportation? Of course we do, but it doesn't mean that we
but
have
Jubin,
to
you, I mean Are you scared as well? You're not an immigrant, but you're second generation.
First generation.
Oh, is that how
I
that
think
works?
It's the first born works, in the country is first generation.
Sure. Okay. Yeah. Well, whatever. Your parents
are immigrants. Sure.
Anyway, but are you nervous about that? I mean, you're in the worst position because you've been profiled since 9/11. I'm sure.
Yeah. There's no. Yeah. Yeah. I'm constantly.
You're
pulled
like,
over
no. It's fine. Democrat, Republican. I'm going to be profiled. But I, as a woman, I'm especially terrified of a Trump presidency, and I would think anybody that is not Charlie Todd most white.
I'm not the most white person.
Yes, you are, Charlie Todd.
White.
When did your family emigrate here? Like 1600, and you have blue eyes.
You disgust me, Charlie Todd.
Charlie, when your family tree comes back, you're just from South Carolina. There's like no.
There's
like,
actually there's only.
It's like Mary Todd Lincoln.
I think there's some people from North Carolina.
No. I think I might be the first non-Southerner to marry into your family.
This is the biggest weakness of the left right now. Is this PC resentment of anybody who shares your opinion in a way that you can also attack. It's like, I think you're right. Oh, fuck you. You probably are saying that for performative reasons.
But it's so
this
true.
This is going to be the downfall of the left.
But I think of this, I am the mother to Charles Edward Todd IV. Like, I have carried on the generation.
You're part of the problem, Cody Lindquist.
As if I am not. But Charlie, you really are the biggest example of the most white of our country.
Thank you so much.
It's true. It's fine. My son is also the second most white of the country.
Really? He's half you. You must be surrendered.
Yeah. I am very white. I'm not saying I am not white.
You guys
I'm
might
extremely
as well be
Trump white,
fighters.
But you are very white.
But isn't this like the exact example of... I think this is the exact example of why Trump's base is such a small, aggrieved minority. Anybody who's not...
It's not that small, but okay.
I genuinely think that even despite the Republican Party unifying, Trump still appeals on a visceral level to a few number of people. And I'm very happy. I'm both very upset at the Republican Party for nominating him, but I'm also very pleased that the Democratic Party's lock on the presidential... on the White House, I think is pretty solid as long as they continue to keep courting these.
I mean, sort of demographically solid as it is. I think they're going to win all these gerrymandered districts and have the House for the foreseeable future. But
the popular vote is the Democrats.
But it's an arrogant way to think. And I'm scared that the arrogance is going to lead to a failure. I get scared about that.
I think if there is any... I don't think that I think that the Republican Party picked the worst person to exploit that difference. I think
they did the opposite of what their autopsy was. And
absolutely. If there was any weakness that Hillary Clinton might have had in this election, they picked the candidate worst position to exploit it. And I think Hillary would be the best president possible out of all the options available. Mm-hmm. So it worked out pretty good, unless Trump gets elected. And then this is an utter disaster.
These debates are going to be amazing, right? I mean, I wonder if they'll be debates.
I wonder if Hillary Clinton could just be like, I'm not going to debate this guy.
No, Hillary Clinton's like, bring it on.
Wait a minute. How does that work in the general election? Is it not just like, isn't there like an election committee that says we're having three debates and one vice presidential
decide.
Debate?
There is, but the
Who
campaigns.
Both of the candidates.
The parties or the campaigns?
The campaigns like get together and debate over how many
Hillary
debates
wants 20,000 debates.
No. This is not like the primaries. There's always like three, right?
No, that's up to the, there's the presidential the election exist. Committee. Uh-huh. Or some, it used to be the League of Women Voters, and then the
women aren't important, as we've learned from confirmation, and also the fact that we nominated Trump.
It's still like
just a formula, and I feel like.
But it's a formula that's determined by a committee that consists of Republicans and Democrats. Like, it's a private organization that's like, we'll take it over. But I don't. There's no legal reason why Hillary's campaign can't just be like, no.
No, Hillary wants to debate.
Maybe she does.
She absolutely wants to stand there and say, what do you think about China? And have him go, China.
Yeah.
She wants to debate.
She's definitely like, you know, I think for better than worse, Hillary Clinton is definitely a Tracy Flake in the sense that she's very willing to prepare for like 6 weeks ahead
and game out every solution. If Hillary wins, which Bernie won tonight, so we don't know, and I will support literally any person that is not Trump, and I also like Bernie and I like Hillary. But if it's Hillary and Trump, it will be the most qualified candidate in the history of the United States against the least qualified candidate in the history of the United States. True. Running against each other, and I think actually it's going to be a very tight race.
And Ross Perot was probably pretty unqualified.
I don't think so. He at least had like some
He had some charts.
I agree. He wasn't qualified, but he was definitely more qualified.
Yeah, I think I don't know. I'm curious who wants to debate more, and I'm curious who will win those debates.
I don't know. And again, I remember back in 2015, I was, and I hate to put myself alongside Bill Kristol, but I was very confident that Trump was not going to win a single primary. And I could be completely wrong, but I really, I have, honestly, right now my feeling is just utter disappointment at the Republican Party for nominating such a clear loser as Donald Trump.
I think this comes in a half a glass empty, or glasses half. This is what happens when you're drunk and you're trying
to stay.
These beers
are great, by the way. Yeah, I'm actually very impressed that you guys go to the lengths of describing the beers that you're serving.
Well, I should say that our third beer tonight. Third beer tonight is 6 Points Resin, which is 9.1%.
Yeah, we are.
A little drunker than we normally are. We apologize for that.
Okay, so Jubin's glass is half full, and I'm a glass is half empty because I really appreciate your positive outlook. And I'm like, from the beginning, I've been like, holy shit, Trump can win it all.
Well, I will say the moment that I realized I was probably for Hillary and not Bernie, and I was kind of on the fence for a very long time, but this past fall...
Which you would still vote for Bernie if he wins the nomination.
Obviously, of course. This past fall, when Hillary had the greatest week of her life, which was, I think, the Benghazi hearings, and the first debate with against Bernie, and I think there was like Jim Webb and Chafee.
Oh, and also, who's the guy, I literally don't remember the guy from Baltimore.
What's his name?
Oh, Martin O'Malley.
Martin O'Malley.
He was the last one that standing.
Like, yeah.
Jim Webb is the weirdest footnote. People like to like rag on Lincoln Chafee, but Jim Webb is like not even a Democrat.
He definitely felt like there was an opening here for a grizzled war veteran. Yeah.
Weird. But Hillary was so great in that marathon Benghazi hearing. And then that debate, she was just like, wow. Every single answer, she's smarter than me. She's smarter than everybody else in the room, everybody else up there.
There was a loop of her, a Vine loop of her that I think is, it came out like right afterwards where she was, it was a thing where one of the Republican committee members was, I forget who it was, but said something about like, what do you think happened there? And she tries to respond and says, well, I think, and he cuts her off by saying, let me tell you what I think. And Hillary stops.
For the questioner?
Yeah, the questioner. And he asks her a question. As she tries to respond, he immediately cuts her off and says, let me tell you what I think. And she just so beautifully stops speaking and just very, just resignedly puts her head in her hand as if to say, go ahead, man, tell me what you think, like I've had to live with all my life, in a way that even as a man, I felt so sympathetic to all of womankind. And it was such a smart move for her to be like, yeah, go ahead, tell me what I did that night.
She said it today to Andrew Mitchell when Andrew was talking about how Trump's going to attack her. And she said, look, I've been dealing with this for 20 years.
Yep.
Bring it on.
I want to say, I'm a fucking mom. I'm a fucking woman. Yeah, you laugh, but I am.
Just the way you wear that mantle with such pride. Yeah.
There is something that's changed in me since I had a kid, and I'm like, I'm in fucking charge. I raise that kid. My husband is here, and I love him, and he's great, and he's supportive, and he raises our child, too.
But lemonade.
She has not seen Lemonade.
I haven't seen it.
She's like the second
time
it's come. No, she hasn't seen it.
Are you kidding me?
Okay, Jubin, our HBO Go, we like tried to download it like 2 days after, and it was already whatever, but I listened to two songs at the gym today. Two songs on Pandora at the gym today, and I was like, yes.
I'm telling you, as a woman, you gotta watch Lemonade.
Thank you for mansplaining it.
Oh my God. But the thing about Lemonade.
God damn you. No, but I will say that like now there's something about having a kid that is like transformed me in a way that I'm like, 190,000,000% I am equal to every...
By the way, that's not what Lemonade is really about.
I don't give a shit. Yeah, and Lemonade's about cheating. But no, but there's something about like having a kid that makes you go, oh, I am so far beyond equal to a man. Like I should be in charge of everything always. And but my point is that it's an equal opportunity thing, and that like my husband and I are raising our kid together, blah, blah, blah. But also I'm in charge. And anyway, I'm drunk, but women forever. And
this sounds pretty terrible. This is like such a small reason to support anybody. But I also feel like it seems such a shame in a way to go from having the first black president to going right back to a white male.
No, not just a white man, but a white male that was like the number one contributor to sexism in the 90s.
Definitely.
No, we had the first black president. This is what the Democrats are going to win for like 40 years. We've got to do first black, first woman. We got to do first homosexual. We got to do first transgender. We got to do first Asian.
Right. How about Latino? That's like the next one to go to.
It's going to be Castro.
Castro brothers. Castro, definitely. Right? Yeah.
And this is why I married Charlie Todd, because he knows that his time is over and that all.
Yeah, I missed my boat. I can't be president. I can't be president for like 60 years and then I'm going to be dead. Yeah.
And also, Jubin, you're not white either, so we can't.
First Iranian president.
It'll be a long time for an Iranian.
You're right. You guys actually, of all the people, Iranians are sort of the Muslim Americans are the most hated.
The amount of, well, not Muslim, but I recognize the...
Culturally Muslim?
No, not even culturally. I have relatives who are Muslim, but I am raised very firmly in the atheist tradition.
Yes.
Well, actually, you know what?
It's actually less...
I do have a chance of being president because we are going to have our first atheist president in our lifetime.
No, no, no.
It'll be me. Oh, we got
Lemonade, Charlie. Lemonade. I'm going to be president before you. That's just like the rule.
No,
but you're not religious. You're also pretty...
No, I'm an atheist woman. And I gave birth to a child out of my vagina, and I deserve to be president because my life is
This is also
that.
Like a very obvious, like unspoken thing that like Obama is clearly not very Christian. Like
Obama does not believe in God. Do you think Hillary believes in God?
No.
I think they're almost certainly both agnostic.
Do you think Trump believes in God?
I think Trump believes in a God that is like super pro Trump. I think God.
I think we might have a general election that is atheist versus atheist.
You think Trump is atheist?
Yeah.
Probably.
He's a New York guy.
Maybe.
Come on.
I mean, he like says The Art of the Deal is the number two book behind the Bible.
He definitely doesn't like care much about Christianity, but I think he probably has some faith in I don't think he thinks about it.
Successful that he thinks his success was
I think he's just
God's,
like,
well,
whoever God is, he's on my side.
But
I think Hillary and Obama have both put like thought into God and his existence. I think Trump is the kind of guy who's like, well, if there is, he's certainly like a Trump fan.
Well, we have to wrap this up, but I do think there is something telling about the fact that Cruz ran on the
evangelical
vote, and he lost big time. And I think that's like the last, like, you know, like, I'm gonna fucking do it, I'm gonna run, and he lost. So this might be the last.
You were saying earlier, though, isn't this the ultimate sign of progress that in 2016
in November we'll see. In November we'll have another meeting and we'll talk about this being the ultimate sign of progress. But if Trump wins, it's not the ultimate sign of progress.
Could you have imagined in 20 years ago, in 1996, that we would come to a point where a politician would use transgenders using bathrooms as a last desperate stand and fail at it to a guy who was like, I don't care if Caitlyn Jenner uses my bathroom, who cares? I think that, like, if nothing else, that alone is a sign of such progress.
I guess.
I think it's a sign of progress that every major corporation in America is like, fuck you, North Carolina,
no.
We're out.
I agree. Great. But it's not a sign of progress that, like, Trump is okay with transgendered people, and yet he also feels like women need to be in short miniskirts sucking his dick.
Well, he did come out for dick sucking.
He did. Seriously. He talks about his fucking dick size and how women have, need to be on their knees. But he's okay with Caitlyn Jenner.
Everyone but
women. This just goes to show you that we're okay for any man if he's black, transgender, whatever. We don't give a shit. But if it's a woman, she needs to be on her knees.
I think November you will see a historic change.
I hope.
How many points is Hillary going to win by?
I think she will win by, I would say she will win by not 10, but close to 10 points.
How many did Obama win by the last two times? I don't even
Obama
know.
Obama won like, I want to say like 53 to 46. 7, so I would
like
say.
6 or 7 points both times.
I remember it was clear that like Romney said the 47% and he won 47%
right.
of the vote.
That's right.
So I want to say he won by like 5 to 6 points. Wait.
So I want to close out just talking about some of Cruz's greatest hits because, you know, RIP, he's gone.
Absolutely. It's so hot.
I just want to remind everybody. He's one, he's the Zodiac Killer. Two, he's some woman on Maury Povich.
How far he's, what impression he's made for.
He started as a Zodiac Killer. Then he became a woman on Maury Povich taking a paternity test.
Oh, God.
And I also just want to remind everybody that his running mate, Carly Fiorina, fell off the stage a couple of days ago. And tonight, breaking news, he punched his wife and then elbowed his wife.
It's a really funny gif. Look at
concession
up.
Speech.
Such a cruisy like, way to say goodbye, too.
He's been the funniest candidate. Injuring. He's the worst. I honestly would say he was...
And this is just coming from like someone who had a predisposition to hate him. I don't know what his supporters thought about him, but so widely reviled here in New York and anybody who was not like a firm fan of him.
Lindsey Graham hates him from South Carolina. John Boehner hates him from Ohio. I mean,
there was a moment where like yesterday or I think over the weekend he was going right. He was in the middle of this scrum and some guy was like, Cruz, like shake my hand. And he went to shake his hand. The guy pulled his hand away. He goes, too slow. And then someone else shouted, you look like a fish monster at him.
Not a fish monger, but a fish monster.
But there's something about the way that, and this is just my, maybe that I'm too like, I'm too much of a bleeding heart, but the way that guy having to hear that shouted at you to your face made me so suddenly like deeply sympathetic to this poor man who was just outright told by this like roving band of bullies that you look like a I maybe just activated all my middle school insecurities, but I for the first time in my life felt so sorry for this ranting transphobic racist sexist bastard.
He deserved it.
I mean, I to a certain extent, does anybody deserve to be told that they're a fish monster to their face?
You know what, so we're gonna go out tonight. I'm Jubin Parang, loving
God
Ted
bless
Cruz.
You Ted Cruz.
God bless right. you. Goodbye, God, Ted Cruz.
Yeah. Thanks for listening, everybody. We have a show coming up. I believe it's May 31st.
Yeah, we're going to.
We might do one more podcast before
that.
We're
going to keep plugging that. So make your reservations.
If you're in New York,
it sells out every year.
Go see these guys.
It sells out every year. It sells out every month.
Tickets are available at ucbtheater.com.
Drink beer. That's the other plug we want to do.
Yeah. And please remember to vote in midterm elections.
Please, God, vote in midterm elections.
Good night, everybody.
Midterm elections. Bye, guys.
This has been a UCB Comedy production. Check out our other shows on the UCB Comedy Podcast Network.